As you can see on the screen, the picture of the seashells. Guess what I was thinking about this week? Going on holiday. Taking time out, a little R&R as it's called, rest and recuperation. And I've added an extra R in there for this sermon today. So I'll come on to what each of those R's mean. Let's just pop on to the next slide, Phil. So in the church, we know we have our seasons. We have Advent and Lent and Easter and Ordinary Time and Christmas, and not necessarily in that order. And at the moment, I don't know about you, but I couldn't tell you, apart from if I can look at the altar, I think we're still in Ordinary Time. Because I still feel like we haven't done Easter. I feel like I'm still in March and I'm still waiting for us to have Easter Sunday service. Anybody else feel a bit like that? Yeah. I feel like I'm kind of waiting for, and we've been put on hold, as it were. But the seasons still move on and we can see outside it's sunny and we're in the season of summer here and Ordinary Time in the church. And summer generally in the church is a time to take rest, to take stock. A lot of things shut down for August, but we're shut down quite a lot anyway, as it is at the moment. But generally speaking, the schools stop and we have this season of natural pause and people go away. And then we look to September with its new beginnings and harvest and the schools start again. But because we're a little bit out of sync with the natural order of things at the moment, it does feel like, not quite sure whether we've already had enough rest. But it didn't feel like a rest to me in lockdown, did it to you? Not really. It was a funny old sensation, funny old situation to be in. Felt like in some ways I was working harder than I do ordinarily because everything felt more complicated and more stressful. So I just think now, although I'm obviously going away, I think for all of us, perhaps now is the time for a little change of pace. Anne and Richard and others have been working so hard during lockdown. And I think for each of us, perhaps there's a time now to pause and to reflect on what has been. So let's have a look at the next slide. So R&R was an abbreviation from the military. The military first used this term, and it was the free time given to a soldier to rest and recuperate either after battle or after training. And it feels like some of us have been in a battle these past few months. So now is a time for us to take some R&R. And the good news is that even Jesus needs a little R&R. Can we go on to the next one, Phil? This is what our reading today is all about. And if it's good for Jesus, then it's good for us too. I've got a brilliant book at home called Jesus's Day Off. It's fab. Have any of you ever read it? It's really good. And I gave Anne a copy, I think, didn't I? It's a really good book, if you can get a hold of it. It's a children's book, but I think it applies to all of us that if the God of the Sabbath needed a day off, then we must do too. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. What had just happened? Well, he'd just heard that his cousin John had been killed, beheaded by Herod. The news has just come to him, and it seems only right that he would withdraw from public view to mourn and pray. Jesus wants to be with his Father, to be alone, and the only way it seems he can do that is by getting into a boat and sailing away from the crowds. And yet the crowds still follow him on foot to the place where he is to land because they've heard the news too, it says in our reading. And also such is the draw of this person, Jesus, that they can't wait to be around him. They long to be with him. And when Jesus lands on dry earth, it says he saw such a large crowd that he has compassion on them and heals those who are ill. I wonder if Jesus is looking on us with compassion today. I'm sure he is, wanting to heal all those that are suffering from the virus and those of us who are wrestling with the complexities that come with this virus. You know, this passage of scripture about the feeding of the 5,000 is so well known, and yet so often we focus on the feeding and not on what just happens a few moments before. And yet for these first couple of verses, verse 13 to 15, we learn so much about Jesus. So what can we learn for ourselves? Well, Jesus does several things here. If we could just pop onto the next slide, Phil. I think there's a blank one and then the next one. Lovely, thank you. So the first thing Jesus does is he withdrew. If you just press the button, Phil, there we go. He withdrew. Sometimes it's good to step back, to retreat, to withdraw. The second thing, he withdrew by boat. It's good to get a different perspective on things, to reflect. And Jesus does this by getting into a boat and standing back from the situation. And the third thing, he withdrew by boat to a solitary place. He went on his own. And when we retreat and reflect, we're often given a fresh injection of energy. It revives us, but sometimes that means that we have to get alone. So let's look at the first of these things. So to retreat, to step back, you might feel like you've retreated enough already this year, but because it wasn't restful, it doesn't feel quite like we've had a proper break. And Jesus withdraws and retreats. He's upset and emotional about his cousin. So he takes himself out of the situation so that he can grieve in peace. For some people, being alone when you're grieving or when you're struggling is just what you need. My friend put a thing on Facebook yesterday, Shelley, she often comes to this church, to say, when this is all over, I'm looking forward to a nice night in on my own. For her, that sums up her introverted nature. She can't wait to have a quiet night in on her own again. But for some of us, we can't stand being on our own. It's the worst thing in the world. And so being with other people feels more like a break. The other day, I was trying to write this sermon, and everyone's at home at the moment. You know, Chris, William and Emily, the dog. And normally I write my sermons in peace and quiet in my study. I can concentrate, I can reflect. And it was like Piccadilly Circus. I could hear Chris upstairs talking on his Zoom meeting, and Emily was doing something else, and William was playing, and the dog was in and out of the study. And so I said to Chris, should we just get out of here for an hour? Should we just have a break? Because I feel like I could just do with having a change of perspective. So we left the laptops and we headed down to the harbour for an hour or so. And we had an ice cream and a little wander around, and it did wonders for us all. It was just an hour. But when we returned, all was calm, even the dog. And I felt like I had more space in my head for creativity. By stepping back just for an hour, it gave me space to focus on God's creation rather than my own feeble thoughts and efforts. It put everything into perspective, and it reminded me of just why it's so important to take time out. And it reminded me of that story of the man sharpening his axe. There were two of them in the forest, both cutting trees. One man would stop to sharpen his axe every hour or so, and the other just kept chopping and chopping and chopping away. And the one who stopped to sharpen his axe was able to chop down far more trees and to go on for longer than the man who didn't stop. And it reminds us of the importance of taking that pause, that rest, to sharpen our axe, to sharpen our minds. Even Jesus needed to take time away from the expectations of others. He needed to spend time with his Father to regroup and gather himself before facing his work once again. If we're feeling overwhelmed by the news or by our circumstances, sometimes a little change of scenery is all we need. And we don't even need to go that far. On the front of our link sheet, it invites us to go to Fully Grove House, just over on the Cotswold estate. And the house is going to be open again on Wednesday afternoons. We can go and sit in the garden there if we want to change the scenery. Another option is visiting other people's gardens like we do here at St. Mary's, or even just a chair in your house that you keep as a special place for peace and quiet. So perhaps we can all take a bit of time to retreat and step back. We can also reflect, get a different perspective, and that's the next thing that Jesus does. He gets into a boat. Now, he probably does this because it's quicker than trying to walk through the crowds. It's easier to find a quiet place more quickly, but it also allows him a different perspective. I did try and put this picture on the screen, but I'm not sure if it's come up, Phil. Can you have a look if it's come up on the next one? Oh yeah, there's the retreat garden. The next slide. Lovely. This is Chicago, and I went there a couple of years ago, and it was a lovely, like, big sprawling city, as most cities are, but every block looked the same, and it was a bit confusing. But when I got onto the boat and was able to kind of step back from the city, you could see the skyline and the buildings and make more sense of what it looked like from a distance. Jesus gets onto a boat in order to get a different perspective. It's only sometimes when we stand back from our own situations that we can truly see them in the perspective that God sees them. Often we're too close to our own problems to get a broader picture, a broader understanding. So Jesus gets into the boat to travel somewhere else, but in doing so, he gives himself to get a better sense of perspective. As devastated as he must have been at John's death, he must also have known that this was part of his story too, a step closer to his own death. And the boat was just the vessel that he needed to give himself a broader picture. Sometimes God calls us to step out in faith, to step into the boat, to sail with him and to literally see where we go, or even in our mind's eye where we end up. A willingness to change and be transformed, which brings us on to our third and final point. When we do retreat, when we do step back and reflect, then often our soul is revived. I wish that was me right now, don't you? On the seashore, not a care in the world. By the time Jesus steps back onto the dry land, what's happened to him? His compassion and his energy levels have been revived to the point that he not only heals the sick, but he goes on to perform one of the biggest miracles he ever performs that's recorded in the Bible anyway. When we take time out to retreat and reflect, the reward is that we are revived so that we can inject fresh energy into our work and our ministry, into our prayer life. We benefit, and so do those around us. I know when I need a holiday because I get grumpier and grumpier and grumpier the nearer I get to going on holiday. And I know that I need that pause and reflection to revive my spirit. In Genesis, God creates the world out of rest. It was night, first of all, and it was day. Out of night into day. The day, the rest comes before the day. The rest comes before creativity. When we are fully rested, we too have the desire and the enthusiasm to be more creative. If all we ever do is pour ourselves out for those around us, never take time to refill ourselves, it won't be long before we're like a car running on empty. And all we have is an empty and begrudging spirit that doesn't really help anyone. So I'm just going to ask you now as we close to think of three things that revive your soul. What would you say? Perhaps it's pottering in the garden. Perhaps it is that walk along the beach or a coffee with a friend. Just have a couple of moments just to reflect on that. What three things most revive your soul? And then my next question is, when was the last time you did those things? Perhaps you haven't been able to because of circumstances. Perhaps at the moment, because of the fear of going out, we're limited to what we can do. But perhaps just pick one of those things that's a bit more easy to put into practice this week. And let's take the opportunity of this month of August to retreat, to reflect, and to revive our souls, so that when September comes and the autumn stretches out before us, we're ready and rested and raring to go. Jesus performed one of his greatest miracles out of a place of rest. I wonder what we might do too if we followed his example. For Jesus' sake, amen.